Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. I need glasses. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll break down this past week's regular season finale and hear from your winner, Ryan Preece. Yeah, he won. We also have a regular season champ to talk about. And we head to the first race of the chase, and she's the lady in black. We'll get you ready. Fantasy standings, we got them. Chase standings, we got them also. It's all on Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, it's co-host, all things going down to Alabama at 11 a.m. Alabama time, going to be hot. Jason Hildebrand, the man, spinning the tunes.
Having a day.
Having a day with the parentals. Always
it happens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, get your brother up here and get Tony.
Well, I got some words for him too.
If you want a TSSAA rant, we will. These are recorded and they do go on podcast, so we can make sure we make him aware of what's going on. But it sounds like Scott, you may have had a headache today, right?
It's been an afternoon for sure.
Well, listen, sometimes you need to go to Mouse Creek Pharmacy because they've grown so much that. You know, they've got a new location called Georgetown Pharmacy, and you guessed it. It's right off of Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. You can get Advil, ibuprofen, all your prescription drugs. You can get all of it right there. Get away from that big box store and visit Mouse Creek Road or Mouse Creek Pharmacy on Mouse Creek Road or Georgetown Pharmacy today. All right, heater, dud, meter. I'm going with a 3, but when I put this on here, I don't think I had heard the interview where I think it was Preece that said he was half throttle for 65% of the race. Now, that just pisses me off. So I'm changing it to a 5. Like, let's figure out how to full throttle, because that's what you're doing at a super speedway, and quit the old half throttle crap. You know, maybe we should just throw the dang, you know, segments out of the way and just let them all go. I mean, and make it to where, hey, there's no fuel mileage in this thing to get to wherever you got to go. Hold the throttle down. The best person wins. I mean, Cole Trickle, he's coming back. We just announced that they announced they're doing Days of Thunder 2 at a place where it's like, you know, where Harry Hyde said, hey, put the pedal to the floor and drive through it, right? And then, but now he would say, hey, if you see smoke, half throttle, you can make it through it. I got a 5.
I'm going to 3.5. You know, I thought there were some interesting moments in that last segment. But just the overall strategy is not like what we're used to seeing. And you know, we say it all the time and we think about it. It's like, well, it's not like it used to be. It's never going to be like it used to be. But just this style of racing and those strategies involved, you can take that. You know, I just don't – it's 3.5 for me.
I agree. The fuel saving is annoying. Like it's one of my favorite types of racing they do all year long, and we only get so many of these. Now I know they've added Atlanta to the schedule, and Atlanta may be the best super speedway out there right now. But the way that these cars are, it's follow the leader. There's not really a lot of. I mean, you get some exciting racing the last two laps before a stage finish or before the end of the race. And the rest of it is, how much fuel can I save so I can spend the least amount of time? There's not enough action on track to really drive any cautions in the sport and this particular type of racing. And that's just causing extreme. So they're driving probably, 10, 15 miles an hour faster, slower than they could be?
Yeah.
Because they're out there trying to save fuel because they want to spend the least amount of time on pit road. And all the ingredients are there for it to be great. And the one hiccup in all of it is they've got to change the way they're doing stages or something at these races, because these guys are just saying, hey, I just need to have enough fuel to get to spend the least amount of time on pit road. And if that means only hovering the throttle at 60%, that's what I'm going to do, because I know my best chance of winning is spending the least amount of time on pit road. And that's too one-dimensional. And that is what's hurting the race. So three and a half sounds right. I don't know that it was – the racing itself was horrible, and it's fun to watch pack racing like that. But the strategy part is what deducts points for me or adds points in this scale.
And I think when my three and a half, I think I'm going to just say it is – and you alluded to something there, Scott, and I want to chime in on that. To me, it's disappointing – when you have the so-called World Center of Racing, and
you're not racing.
And you've turned Atlanta into a better track or better race than what you get at Daytona. Daytona was set out to be the super speedway. Now Atlanta does a better job, Echo Park Speedway, than what we see at Daytona
Echo Park, or Talladega. Or Talladega, I started to say.
Both yeah. Have been passed by Echo Park Speedway. It's just disappointing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you could – say, hey, you can pit for tires and you make the fuel run last the entire deal, and then don't time the pit stop at the stage break. So you make sure they have enough gas for that. You can pit one time, but you can't put gas in. You can only do tires at super speedways, and then that stops all that, because then everybody's in there, and if you have to make a pit stop during the stage, you can only do tires, but you have enough gas to get there. That might be too, you know, rinky-dink as far as, like, what is it? The trucks, not the trucks, but the Xfinity? Arca does that. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of stop and do a break or whatever. But, you know, that's the only way I think you fix it to where you're like, all right, you don't have to save gas because your gas is going
to
last.
Tires need to matter, because how many times have we watched in the past that some car out there goes and gets new tires, and guess what? He's a hot rod out there. Everybody else is sucking high and tit at that point.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating watching – a super speedway race like that.
We had the lower spoilers, right? We had the smaller spoilers that which should have created better racing. I did think that, hey, they're able to pass each other enough, but now that you find out they're doing, you know, half throttle. But, you know, it's like Hosovar. Tires don't make a difference at that track, but air does. He turns down, gets, you know, dirt or clean air on him, and all of a sudden runs out of talent and takes a good car in Eric Jones out, who's got taken out 2 weeks in a row by somebody losing or running out of talent in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, but didn't that kind of summarizes Hosovar's year, where he's the one guy out there trying to make things happen, but sometimes
he doesn't think it through completely.
Yeah, I don't. There's nothing to kind of bridge the thinking sometimes, saying maybe this is a step too far. And I get it. He had a good run. He was just trying to get underneath. But in that situation, if you can't control your car, you're going to – now, fortunately, it only wrecked Eric Jones. Yeah. But that could have took out 25 cars very easily. And he hit the wall a ton, too. Yeah. So, I think it just epitomizes what we've seen from Hosovar this year, where we see – this guy is making things happen all the time. But sometimes that's good, and a lot of times, especially recently, it's been bad.
They need to sit him down and say, hey, let's go back to school here. Let's break out risk and reward, Carson. So, because when he pulled down, you know, I was watching it live with you guys, and when he made that hard left, I'm like, man, here he goes. And then, I mean, it took no time for that thing to get sideways.
But part of it is, Jason, I don't want to set him down. I want to let him keep doing what he's doing. There's got to be a line there.
But if you're the owner and you're going out there wrecking cars every dang week by taking risks that you shouldn't at that time.
I think this show has been ultra supportive of what he's done in the sport and what he's doing in the sport. But there has to be some sort of rails to the ride that he puts everybody on. There's no guide rails. He just can go absolutely ballistic and nuts and try to make a move that is just literally impossible to make, or he doesn't, as you say often, he runs out of talent and causes something to knock somebody out.
Let's go business and banking. What's the return on investment, though? If in that world, Who's this car owner? Is that Spire?
Yeah. Spire. Yeah.
All right. So Spire's whole, you know, business model, the financial model, is not making money off NASCAR.
From merchandise sales alone, he's doing the right stuff.
And they're also agents and stuff like that for other athletes. But I think the big thing to me is that if Jason is a wild card out on the track.
Well, he is a wild card.
Yeah. But if Jason is bringing in more dollars from other aspects of that particular business, go do what you want to do. I mean, this guy's posting stuff about, you know, hey, let the kids, don't, if you're adults, you know, like it, we used to see at Bristol, those guys running around, 60-year-old guys with backpacks trying to get autographs.
Oh, yeah, carrying their die-cast cars.
Yeah, and those kids are trying to get, he posts like, hey, let the kids do it. I don't want you, you know, getting over top of it. This guy's been a fan since he was a kid. I don't want to, from a business model standpoint, if Spire Motorsports said, hey, he's costing us tons of money by the way he's driving, then I get it. I don't think that's the case. I think they're happy every time he's on TV, hence the fact that there's different sponsors on that car every week, it seems like. And so he's got a girl. I don't know, some girl they you know, in the pit that's supposed to be some what's that?
Influencer
or whatever.
Oh, he's influencing some
stuff. That's
what
I'm saying. So to me there, it's like, I get what you're both saying, but and I agree. I just think that I think they're looking at it from a business model standpoint.
I think we all see a lot of potential in what he's out there doing, especially in the type in the equipment he has. Now, they have good stuff, but they don't have the best stuff. And to see him go out there and make things happen, that's great for us, because that's how many we talk about him every single week, something on this program. So that side of it is outstanding, all the stuff he's doing. The difference is, I think there's a guy in there that could be a real threat. Maybe not this year, but in the next few years, a real threat to be a championship-level driver, because he has the audacity to take some risks and do some things in a sport that I think has gotten more and more conservative and buddy-buddy over the last 25 years. But there's lessons that have to be learned. And I don't think the issue I have with him is I don't see any lessons being learned. I see the same types of mistakes over and over and over again. That's what I want to see. I want to see him take the next step and take that aggression and be able to go out there and win races and be the type of driver we think he can be.
Yeah. What concerns me about Josevar is if you continue down the path of not prioritizing your reward over your risk, you tend to possibly miss out on playoffs. You know, you start getting a lot of DNFs, you don't get in there, your sponsors aren't going to be very happy about that.
Right.
But so far, he's worked out okay. You know, it's been kind of here and there. And then we talk about him every single week. And I think there's a lot of positives with Carson Josevar moving forward in this sport to garner a lot of attention. I mean, I mean, he's exciting to watch, mainly because guess what? You don't know what the hell the guy's going to do next.
Well, and that was Ross Chastain three years ago.
But he wrecked Hendrick cars. So yes. Just wait and see. Josevar wrecks the wrong car,
then it'll get it.
And it's gonna come back.
Well, there'll be a Toyota that's open for him he could probably run to. I you know, that's the thing with him. And Jones been taken out twice now by what seems like that. Hey, so look, I've got a couple other things on here to talk about, you know, Priest here in a second. Just something that I thought about, and it's in the news portion, but, you know, let's go ahead and talk about it now. Denny Hamlin wins the regular season championship. Look, I think that Denny Hamlin is probably a favorite for the championship.
I would agree.
And so what I want to find out from you guys is, like, name me three other drivers right now that would be more of a favorite for the Chase Championship than Denny Hamlin is right now.
I don't have three. I will tell you this though, the potential for the 45 is there.
Yeah,
potential for the 12 is
there.
That
was going to be the guy I was going to lean on. If I had to pick somebody to finish second in this playoff format right now, it's Ryan Blaney. And the only reason I wouldn't pick him above Hamlin right now is I've not seen these Fords on intermediate tracks yet have the same kind of results. If they can go out there and perform in intermediate tracks, I mean, look at what the Blue Ovals have done over the course of the last 6 weeks. It's a lot. There's a lot of wins, a lot of them in the top 10 week in and week out.
But we're at short tracks.
Right. That's the difference is I want to be able to see what happens this week at Darlington. Can they be competitive? Can they be up near the front? If that's the case, then I think Blaney is as hot as anybody in the sport. But I just don't – seeing is going to have to be believing on this one because yep. I've seen what's happened earlier in the year, and the Toyotas were just that much better than everybody else on those styles of tracks.
Me personally, if I had to pick one guy, though, that I think could challenge for that championship, and it's based on consistency, is the 20 driver, Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
Based on all these second place finishes we've seen all year long and how he's kind of came along in the last month and a half, 2 months.
Consistent everywhere.
I think the 20 could be a real threat.
Yeah.
Just based on that consistency.
Can he win?
And that's the thing you look at last year. At the end, it was at Phoenix, right? And that was a short track. And Denny had it won if a caution wouldn't have come out. And that kind of threw it and put Blaney in. So,
but it's a different – you got to remember now.
We're going to Helmstead.
Right. And it's a whole nother type of format now. So it's – the points reset. And then you just run 10 races. And whoever comes out on top comes out. That's why I think the consistency of somebody like Hamlin, who is – generally been up near the top most of the year, is he's got to be the front runner going into this, but there are some guys, and Bell is one that can definitely win this thing. I just want to see Bell take that step and let's start winning some of these races. I don't want to see Ryan Newman win the championship this year.
I could see that with Bell,
though. But you could. I mean, the way that they've run and as consistent as they've been week in and week out.
But the chase rewards that, right?
Right, and we could see a guy finish third in all these races, not win any of them, and win the championship.
So that's kind of the old style Winston Cup into a little bit of the, I mean, you do get rewarded heavily for winning. So, you know, but I think that's the cool part of this chase. And we probably need to go over that at some point in time and kind of figure that out. Maybe we'll do with the results next week and kind of go over just to make sure we're all on the same page as far as what that looks like. All right, Barry with his third straight top 10. I mean, Josh Berry has had a lucky streak of tracks after the announcement of him going to get on there and kind of boost his resume up a little bit. And some say,
cha-ching.
Yeah, he could be a top driver for a newly open seat that we'll talk about in News of the World and NASCAR.
Listen, if you're looking for a job and you decide you're going to rattle off a bunch of top fives and top tens in a row, that's probably going to look good on a resume. Yeah.
But that could be track centric too.
It could definitely be track centric. But
so, I mean, it's going to be
It's hard to deny that they have been real racy lately.
Jason, you mentioned Reddick in the 45 rebounds with his best finish in a while. This guy, I mean, almost for the, you know, just for the team aspect of, you know, trying to get that Florida Marlins, you know, mojo going into the chase. They needed that on Saturday night and really need to come out strong at Darlington.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter how you got there. I mean, Daytona, you know, he finished third, and it's one of those, well, he survived it, you know, and that's a good finish for somebody that was kind of limping into this thing. You know, I think he's just got to take it with a grain of salt and learn more about that 45 team this week.
Yeah. I think that will be the thing because you got to think he won the Daytona 500. He knows how to get around that place, or be in the right spot. Big wreck at the end. Took out half my fantasy drivers. I know. I think Jason took out some of his.
We've complained a lot of weeks recently of the amount of points people have scored and where they finished in the standings. That's not the case this week.
Man, I didn't think I was going to reach 100.
Yeah,
I'm serious. I missed every single matchup and everything.
I think I finished fifth and had 137 points. That's ridiculous. We'll look at that.
Yeah, we'll find
out. No spoilers.
Yeah,
come on now.
I forgot who. I thought I finished pretty well. All right, Daytona almost took his life.
That's why he's bringing it up, you know. I thought I finished pretty well. Yeah, let's talk about fantasy.
3 or 4 years ago and when he flipped a bunch of times. And if you remember, Ryan Preece had a black eye. Looked really bad. And so, the Fords have had it. Ryan Preece has kind of been out. Who won?
I just tell you, I didn't get to 100 points. I'm just telling you.
So anyway, he gets there and almost, you know, flipped over, probably the worst wreck I'd seen in this new car, and it was wearing sunglasses the next week. And so how good is it for him Who's been trying? I mean, he's a New Hampshire guy. You know, Martin Truex and him share the same home track up at Loudon. And for him to get a good finish when it seems like Buescher has been kind of the talk of the town and that bunch with Keselowski a little bit, who hasn't won, but Buescher's won more. But for, you know, Priest to get another win, and especially going into the playoffs.
I kind of like it because, you know, I see 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, man, that dude was defeated.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot which racetrack it was, but he was like, you know, I think he had a DNF, and he was just like, man, it's just it looks really slim for us now. I like the fact that he got in. I hate it for SVG that didn't get in. But you got to get better on those ovals. I mean, yeah, that's the bottom line. And, you know, I saw where he said he's going to be running the Cars Tour to try to get better.
Anytime he can get some experience like that, I think that's a good thing.
That was a little disappointed. That's my guy.
Yeah, and I mean, I was pulling for him. And the only way for Priest, and they kept hammering it during the race, was the only way he's going to get in is to win because of the bonus points. And, you know, he loses that one spot, you see him drop back down 20-some-odd points.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And it was just a kind of almost a cat and mouse.
But for your guy, for SVG, yeah, isn't this a step forward because we're starting to see more consistent runs?
Well, it starts scaring me about my guy when we hadn't been talking about him over about the past 5 weeks. Since we hit on the short tracks, he hasn't been as competitive before.
I think it's a little better than last year when you say – I think it's a step in the right direction. He only had 2 victories this year. And he was on the outside looking in, 16th, 17th, you know.
Right. Last year, he just missed it.
Last year he had, 4 victories, yeah, and he was in. So he's almost there.
Old school, he takes a spot for somebody else.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I mean, so that's where this changes a little. And I think that was a little of a thing. So it's going to force him to get more consistent. So let's jump to our shock finish of the week.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Caldwell Paving and Grading has 2 generations of pavers, and they can do your driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can do your interstate too. Give them a call, 423-336-3841. You'll be shocked how good they are. I'm going with a 35 John Hunter. No, it was Burton. What's his first name?
Harrison
Burton jumped in the 35 because the guy in 35 had some concussion symptoms from hitting before and
Riley
couldn't
straighten
up. Riley Herbst, and so he jumped in the 35. I think finished the race, maybe top 10. So I'm going with the 35.
I'm just going to hit the low hanging fruit there and go with Ryan Preece.
No, I think that's a good one. Mine was going to be Blaney because I watched almost that whole race, and Blaney was kind of like nowhere to be found, and then it got late in the race like he typically does on super speedways, and that car was up near the front, and then they could just get caught up in all the trash there at the end. I thought the 12 was going
to
win it.
All right, this Victory Lane interview is brought to you by Lakeview Community Church. Lakeview Community Church, pastored by Eric and Lake and Golden. They meet Sundays at 10:30, Sunday night small groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesdays at 7. That's tonight, 7 p.m. For more information, go to lakeviewcommunity.church.
Well, if I was in a street fight, my knuckles would be pretty tore up right now. So, you know, I knew when we drove through the grass and Shane went and won that stage, he was doing everything it took. It was much like what I told you. It was going to be a heavyweight fight. And that was the first round. Lucky for me, there was 2 more. And I answered that call, and I went, and we got 2nd in the next stage with damage. And then we put ourselves in position to win the race, and we did. So it just comes down. It's no different than my career. There's been a lot of times where one door shuts, and we break down the next door. Even if it's locked, I'm going to kick through it. So, had a fast race car to do that tonight. Had a great communication on the radio with Brandon, my spotter, B. Wilkes, and Derek, and everything that I needed to do to save fuel as well as gain track position and put ourselves in position to win that race. Great horsepower from Doug Yates and everybody at Roush Yates Engines.
Yeah, great horsepower, Roush Yates Engines. He likes to fight, it sounds like. Everything he talks about is around kicking doors and hitting people. All right, so anything you see on Facebook or X, Twitter, whichever it's called, that has our name attached to it and it looks halfway decent, it's done by WebOp Digital Marketing. They can do the same for your business and help you market on all social medias. For more information, go to webob.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR. We've got some right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Thank goodness it's cooled. Hey, can we end the show early because it's too hot?
I'm all for
Let's
it.
Let's do it. I got home Mo. So.
Give Dale a call here in Cleveland. Help you out. 423-509-8787 or anywhere else in the United States. Do like we do. Just call Dales.com. Yeah, I just got announced that schools are announced are getting out early tomorrow because of heat.
Rough one, man. It's rough.
That's the only thing they've never been let out early for. Like cold.
Check that box.
Windy. I know you sent out the message. You're probably like, I'm tired of having to send out all these messages.
He's right. Just doing it for the people, man.
That's all
he's
just trying to help the people, brother.
I mean, it's all about community, and Scott takes the lead and rolls with it.
He is the community, right? There's no other way that message gets out. But Bradley Veterinarian
Unfortunately,
Hospital.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah. Is a great veterinarian clinic. If you've got anything from your puppy to livestock, they'll come to your farm with over 50 years of service. To the community, and listen, I trust them with my dogs, and my dog's got Addison's disease, so I got to trust them every month. So give them a call, 423-479-2051, or visit their website, bradleyvet.com, to make your appointment today. All right, John Hunter Nemechek out at Legacy Motorsports. Didn't really see that coming, but I think that opens the door for a possible Josh Berry move over there, or Carson Hocevar.
Could be. I mean, the buzz on Twitter – X, whatever you want to call it, yesterday was that's looking like that could be Josh Berry's ride. But I've not seen enough to fully confirm that yet. But it could, Berry is, he's on a hot streak. So he could be somebody that's coveted. It's shown that they've shown that they can go out there and put some good finishes together. So we'll see what happens.
And it's not like he's, bound to Ford because he was in Chevrolet earlier. So, all right, then Austin Hill signed for next year in the 33. That confused me a little bit.
Have you seen him run super speedways?
Yes, but that's about it. But I mean,
if you see who else in that organization? I was out there competing.
Don't you want to bring somebody with money to maybe help the organization? I don't know if he has that. It looked like he's, his intent was just to stay in, the O'Reilly series or whatever because he hadn't really had. You would think he'd be good enough to where people would want him. I don't think he's won a championship down there, Jason. So it's not like he's set the world on fire. He's pissed a lot of people off in the O'Reilly series. But he takes over for the 33 or for Kyle Busch. He probably doesn't feel like it's his car, right? Because he's taking over Kyle Busch's. But maybe next year he's better. But I could think of better people that you would want in Richard Childress Racing to put somebody in.
It's a difficult ride, just to be honest with you. This is my thoughts. You can take the 18 you could take Kyle Busch and put him in the 8 car, and guess what, it still wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah,
so what, how are you going to do with Austin Hill?
Right.
I mean, I really think that you should expect to see the same outcomes out of that organization.
Yeah,
we have 6 super speed races a year, and this guy is proven that you put him behind the wheel in a super speedway race, he's as good, if not better, than anybody in that O'Reilly series. So if you got a chance to go out and win at certain types of tracks, don't you think that RCR would just be excited? I mean, they need something positive to happen. It's been a rough 3 years.
And my comment was, I don't think it's derogatory towards Austin Hill's racing ability. I think it's a derogatory comment towards Richard Childress Racing, how they're not putting a quality product out there just with their cars.
Yep.
This is awkward. It's kind of, I mean,
20. You talking about this show or what you're getting ready to say?
It's always been awkward. But I think the Legacy Motor Club just posted 27 minutes ago that they've decided to part ways with John Hunter Nemechek. I normally don't post anything as far as news unless it's confirmed by Bob Pockris or somebody legit. And this has been going on for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And so awkward to see that they actually put out the deal. And all they said was that Legacy Motor Club has made the decision to part ways with John Hunter Nemechek at the conclusion of the 2026 Cup season. grateful for his contributions, Legacy Motor Club, and appreciate his professionalism and commitment to the organization through his time with the team. We remain focused on finishing strong, of course, together, and wish John Hunter the best of luck.
Well, you Nostradamus or whatever?
Nostradamus. I think I just
heard. I mean, you got it on the notes here, and then you're just, hey, it's 20-something minutes ago.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think I posted something without any kind of confirmation, which is
but I think there's been enough chatter. There's been enough chatter that this was something that's going to go down. So I would suspect a Josh Berry.
Oh, you calling it?
I mean, just from the buzz I've been reading online, I would suspect a Josh Berry announcement in the not too distant future.
That'd be a slap in the face to the Wood Brothers, man. Well, and I don't know if it's a better ride, but well, yeah, it probably is.
Josh Berry had a lot of hype around him last year. You know, I mean, there was a lot of hype, a lot of people high on him. Like I said, going to a one-car team, it's tough.
That's tough.
That's very tough going to the Wood Brothers. And we've seen it as a stepping stone for other drivers to get out of that 21.
Speaking of legacy, did you see that hot rod that Jimmy Johnson's going to drive next year at Daytona? It looks pretty. That brought back some feelings. Not always good ones, because I was
Lowe's-ish.
Yeah, is what it's Lowe's-ish.
It did look like
Lowe's that. Paid the money out there to put their little bumper sticker on there.
Do you think Legacy needs flashy? Legacy has Eric Jones, not very flashy.
He needs something.
He's a guy. So I don't know if Josh Berry is that guy that's going to bring attention to whatever they're driving.
Who are you going to get? That's a question.
If Johnson's willing to put up with the antics of the 77,
that's the only flashy guy out.
But then there's also contract stuff too. You know, how long is Josevar signed up for? Sponsors. Are you going to have to buy him out?
Well, and you also know that like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, Trackhouse, all their contracts are up at the end of this year. So
there could be some reshuffling there too.
There could be some availability at that point too. So. All right.
But at this point, if you're Josevar, are you going to Trackhouse? How many guys they got in the
playoffs?
I wouldn't
go to Trackhouse, but I would be signing up in a heartbeat to go to Toyota.
Yeah, but that you got to remember too that legacy car could be a Dodge in the not too distant future. So you may want to be the flagship of a whole new manufacturer entering the sport. So that just food for thought. Just things that we've heard through the grapevine.
But, you know, you look
or at, mainly Alex Hayden.
We're talking about people moving here. You look at Spire. I mean, Spire's got Josevar and they've got Suarez in the chase.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just kind of like what we saw with Trackhouse a couple of years ago, getting two drivers in there.
Yeah. There's nothing attractive about the Trackhouse rides right now.
And with Spire, it's not about like they just went out and won a funky race. They were consistent all year to get into the chase. Michael McDowell's the only other car, and I don't think he wasn't bad.
Yeah, but Josevar was literally – he could have very easily finished in the top five. He was up in the top five at one point 6 weeks ago and then decided he was just going to a.k.a. run out of talent for a month.
Go ahead.
Suarez is one of the shockers for me to even get in this thing. Yeah. Because, you know, I look at Suarez as, you know, road course ringer guy, not very consistent on the ovals and the super speedways and – the mile and a half. I mean, I like it.
Kind of a drop from grace too. He was at Joe Gibbs Racing, got booted out of there, and he's managed to stay consistent with a lower funded team. Well, or as Alex says, not lower funded team, just an
up and coming team.
Leaves Trackhouse in 1 year with Spire, goes back to the playoffs or chase, whatever.
It's not a bad gig.
Not at all.
Let's find out who else is in the standings. It's your NASCAR Cup point standings. It's brought to you by Bree Meyer with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is a realtor I trust, and you should too. And give her a call, 269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, why don't you take it away?
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series standings. The chase is on, and these are the 16 drivers that will be competing for the championship. Denny Hamlin is your regular season winner. Ryan Blaney second. Tyler Reddick. Ty Gibbs in for Chase Briscoe.
That's one person that y'all didn't say that could give Denny Hamlin a run for the championship.
The Gibbs pick would not be that's a good one if you're looking to wager a few dollars and get the best spread.
Back to you.
Christopher Bell in six. Kyle Larson. Is he going to win this year? I have no idea. Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Chris Buescher, Daniel Suarez, Carson Hocevar, William Byron, Bubba Wallace, Austin Cindric, and Ryan Preece. That is your Chase contenders and your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
That's a good move on the fly. Brought to you by Bree Maya.
Just trying to be like, I'm just trying to be more like you, buddy.
269-598-6243. Let's get on to the lady in black. We'll talk about her right after this.
Maybe if I can hit the right buttons.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Let me wipe the tears out of my eyes over here. The Queen of Tennessee and country. Welcome back.
Hey, listen. Finish Line Radio. I got a question. Is there anybody more beloved than Dolly Parton? Like, the amount of stuff I'm still seeing on Twitter is unbelievable. Every night it's a new video, her singing a new song, doing some, having some interview.
With all of our kids, she sent books.
Right.
From the time they were 0 to 5 years old, I think. And, I mean, you got a book a month, yep, or I think maybe a week. But, I mean, just things like that, man. And she never took a – the thing I liked about it is finally, she was the example of somebody that could be famous and not take a political stance.
Right.
She stayed – I don't want to talk about that. I want to do this. It's all about – that was, to me
– She took the Michael Jordan approach to it.
Yeah.
Republicans buy sneakers, too.
I still wonder, like, the whole Carl Dean, her husband, nobody ever seen him. How in the world that happened?
Just stays out of it.
Oh my gosh, it's wild. So, all right, it's time to move on to your next race. And in life, your next race may be buying a new home, moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless moving and storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. It may be moving away from a data center. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call, 423-763.
Talk about getting in it.
1,000. Yeah, that was wild. All right, we'll run a little short on time, so we'll jump in here. Let's talk about Darlington real quick. They flipped it, 25 years ago, where they don't run, back stretches, front stretches, back stretch. What I remember about Darlington is it always had that kind of metal hanging thing over the front stretch. Cale Yarbrough used to be great there. There's the famous in-car camera of him driving around Darlington. They called it the Darlington Stripe because you didn't get out there without hitting, the wall at some point in time. Jason, you've been down there. What sticks out to you in person other than Regan Smith winning at Darlington?
Well, you had some tempers flare after that race with Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick for sure. You just watch these guys, and I remember I can just tell you, it's hot as all get out down there. It kind of can be miserable. But the track itself, where I was sitting, was going into turn one, and you see the guys. I mean, you see it up close. You see it on TV. But it's really amazing to see how they ride up against that wall down there.
Yeah.
And those walls are not going to be clean by the end of the night.
Right.
By any means. It's just a fun
Sandy
race.
Sandy, too, right? Didn't you say Sandy?
Yeah, I mean, just that area. I said right outside of Florence. It's a fun track to go to. I recommend anybody going.
It's on my bucket list.
It is a fun time. But and those cars are out there hitting some high speeds.
Yeah,
and that's the intriguing thing about it. They're hitting these high speeds, running that close against the wall, and you just don't know how they don't lose it every time around.
Well, I could tell you, being a former driver and driving
former
and,
driver.
Well, and still driving.
Are we breaking news here?
And iRacing, I still am in the iRacing.
I didn't see y'all picture the other night.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here?
That was practice the other night when I was doing that. But you got to look at. You can't look right at where you're going when you're riding the wall. You'll get sick. You almost have to look where you're going. That was the advice given to me. Is like you're turning. You want to look out in front.
Did your crew chief give you advice?
They did. Okay. Right, it was a spotter, actually. He's like, don't get sick. It was a
one inside.
Yeah. It was like one outside going way faster. Stay down. So there was that.
77, get away.
But yeah, so I mean, that's just what I think there is, that it's so hard to run that wall and the concentration that you have to have running at a place like Darlington. Because if you screw up, you're done. And usually, Scott, the tires make a difference.
Tires make a huge difference. You got to remember, this is probably one of the more unique tracks on the circuit because there are two distinct different ends of the track.
Yeah.
Where you have one end that's kind of super speedway-ish. It's high banked, pretty wide. You'll see a variety of lines going through one and two. Where in three and four, they'll be glued to the top because it's hard to get enough because of the momentum you can get coming down the front stretch. So it's your car, and this is one of those races, and we talk about it every year. The ones that start in the evening and end at night, usually we see a great amount of disparity between the field about who can run well when it's hot and who can run well in the later stages of the race when the track starts to cool down and tires will really start to matter. So
now listen, don't be teasing me about time. I haven't looked at it. So
traditionally, I haven't looked at the schedule either because it's been a day.
About to get
but my guess is that's typically how this Sunday evening, Labor Day weekend, one of the most famous races. We talk about Crown Jewel. There's like 15 Crown Jewel races now, but this is actually one of them. This track has been around for a long time, and we've seen a lot of great races in there, and I expect to see a good race on Sunday.
All right, this week's schedule is brought to you by Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter and his family have been concreting driveways, sidewalks, foundations, and pull decks for many years. He's my neighbor. He's handled all of my concrete, made a lot of money off of me, I'm sure, and so I should charge him something for this. Whether it's commercial or residential, large or small, they do them all. Give them a call, 423-596-0740. We're heading to Darlington. What's the schedule, Heater?
All right. If you're interested in the Cup practice and qualifying, it'll be 4:00 on Saturday. If you're not watching college football or anything.
Miserably hot, yeah.
Yeah. 4:00 on True TV. And then the O'Reilly race at 7:30 on the CW. Temperatures in the 90s. 80s at night, which would be miserable.
We're right after the Tennessee game.
Sunday, 4:30 USA pre-race, yep. And then at 5:00 on USA, the Cup race in the 90s, 80s at night, 40% chance of rain.
Maybe they got lights.
They do.
And it's hot.
And it's hot.
So if it rains, have I told you how hot it gets down
you
there?
You did, and it'll it suck is, that water right on up.
Yeah, it's miserable hot.
The what is it? The vortex.
All I know is it's hot.
Yeah, it's just going to be hot.
So, all right, what's hot is going to have to be our picks. First of the chase. We'll do it right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Eastman Services on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. It gets bold sometimes not having the sheets in front of you.
It's just one of those days, man. A lot of stuff going on.
Cool.
I was just happy to make it somewhat on time.
You did. I was here earlier than normal. Cooled by Dale's Heating and Air, Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studio. All right, let's get to it here real quick. The fantasy standings are brought to you by the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings are brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services. Listen, you got that honey-do list. I know it's tough when you get the honey-do list. And some of that stuff, you're just like, man, it's going to take forever. Listen, give them a call at Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services, 423-458-2600. They'll make your bride happy. And in turn, if mama's happy, we're all happy, right? Give them to me, Heater.
All right. Here is the fantasy standings from last week. So you got Chase Checkers in first, Wild Racer, Scott Webb in third.
With 137 points, yeah. I believe.
Brandon Gaines, RLM Racing, Kivo Racing, Gunnar Ratter, your cage number three. Loving Left Turns, Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle.
Three's horrible.
The Real Lyle, Dale's Not Dead.
Yeah, he is.
K-White 867, Chasing a Dub, Jason Hildebrand, hey, at least I wasn't last. Dawsonville dominator.
Of course he was last. I mean, ever since he's got his girlfriend, we've talked about this. Where did I finish? I didn't even look. Oh, ninth.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, overall, regular season, we're going to say Brandon Gaines first, Loving Lift Garth. Turns, RLM Racing, Jason Hildebrand, Jamie Kyle. Going to rattle your cage, number three, Dale's Not Dead.
How close am I to you?
It don't matter. We're resetting.
Oh.
You are 85 points off. Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb, Dawsonville Dominator, Kivo Racing, Wild Racer, Chasing the Dub, The Real Lyle, KY867, Chase Checkers.
I think we lost our time. I just hit play. So we're going to be – I'm not going to be able to hit it right on. All right, so listen, here's what I got. This is – I thought long and hard about this.
Let's roll, baby.
All of 3 minutes. I got Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, William Byron, Christopher Bell, and Chase Briscoe in the garage. I got Hamlin over Larson, Suarez over the winner this week, Priest, Blaney over Josevar, and Briscoe over Reddick. Now, NASCAR says if you're gambling, you want to go a great pick, the 11 at a plus 500, a plus 600, Reddick, a plus 1,400 to avoid Joey Logano, you're wrong, NASCAR, and a plus 1,800 to avoid Chase Elliott. Still remember him giving the bird to Kyle Busch there in the COVID season there. And then the sleeper, two-time Darlington winner, 43, Eric Jones, heater.
All right, I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe, Ryan Blaney, Christopher Bell. In my garage,
I'm bored.
In my garage, I'm rolling with Ty Gibbs, Hamlin over Larson, Priest over Suarez, Blaney over Josevar, and Reddick over Briscoe.
Subject to change, right?
Subject to change. I don't know. My subject to change last week got me.
Yeah, I've got to see some qualifying here. I'm going to be like most of the rest. I'm going to pick a lot of Toyotas. I've got Briscoe, Bell, and Gibbs as my Toyotas. I got Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski. Keselowski's been pretty good at Darlington. I got Tyler Reddick in my garage. I got Hamlin over Larson, Suarez over Priest. Blaney over Josevar, and Chase Briscoe over Tyler Reddick.
All right, make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down the cookout, Southern 500, and get you ready for the Enjoy Illinois 300 at WWTR. That's Worldwide. It's going to be hard to say. Technology Raceway. So for Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.